You're listening to a podcast hosted on the Podcast Matrix. What is the podcastmatrix.com?
Hey, this is Marla, the Green Home Coach. I want to take a moment and ask you, did you get tech for the holidays? I know a lot of us will. And if you did, so how do you put it to work in your home for better comfort, for better convenience, and savings? There are so many options out there right now for home technology and automation. And you know, you can pull it all together and use it in a connected home environment, or you might just be using one or two pieces with an app and have that smart home effect. With the Internet of Things bringing so many things into the market, there are so many options. A couple of my favorites that I like, and I've tried a lot of these, so I'm giving you my personal favorites, is number one, starting with a thermostat. I had a Nest in my old home, and I don't have one now, but I loved it because it was so easy and I didn't have to do anything. It learned from me. So if you really need a set it and leave it kind of an approach, look at some of the Wi-Fi enabled thermostats like Nest. There's a number of others out on the market now. Install it and let it do its tricks because it is a super easy way to better control the heat and the cold in your home. I also have just started using these, and this is the smart plugs. But these enable you to plug in an appliance or a light and then to control it with an app. So this is a great way, for instance, if you wanted to be able to turn something on or off from your smartphone, get that smart plug to do it. And speaking of smart plugs, I love the smart light bulbs. We just installed three of these in our home, and it is awesome because I can use my app. We have a connected home app, and I can use that to turn on one or all three of the lights. I can set the levels. So like if I'm going to be home late, I can just turn the light on so it's on when I get home. I can also, with some apps, set it up on a schedule, which is super handy. And I love the safety aspect of that. So it's not only convenient to have the light on, but I feel much safer if I'm coming in after dark by myself. So check out the light bulbs. There are so many kinds out there available. The one thing to look for is if you're going to be connecting a lot of these things in your home, make sure they will work together. If it's a little bit more than you want to figure out, find someone in your local area that can help you out. A lot of times there's a smart home consultant, or they may work with an audiovisual or a home theater kind of company. And if you can't find one, holler at me and I'll help you find one in your location. The other one I love that I'm seeing a lot, really want to try, is a video doorbell. And I've got a number of clients and a number of friends that have these. This is a great way to be able to answer your door remotely. You can see who's standing at your door. It's just a beautiful added safety and convenience. If you've got a video doorbell, I sure would love to hear your comments about what you really love about it and if there's been any downsides to it. What I do have is a connected door lock. And this has been really cool too because it's super easy to set. We can unlock it and lock it with our app. So if I need to let somebody in the house to help out with something around the house or take the dog out or something like that, I can open the door for them. I also can set them their own code, which is really super handy as well. And it's just super easy for them to get in and out without me having to leave a key or hide a key, and I can see who's coming. And then lastly, I think a lot of folks are doing this one, is cameras and putting them in places where you can watch your front door, or maybe you need to watch inside your home. We spy on the dog just to see what trouble he's getting into. But that's a nice added convenience. I know when I was down with some surgery recently, my husband made sure that I checked the camera, that I was in front of the camera once in a while. And if he didn't see me walking past it or limping past it once in a while, then he'd check on me. So check out the home tech. Tell me how you're using it in your own home. And I want to hear how this is all working for you. Hey, have a great green day. Catch you later.
Being green is about more than saving on your electric bill or doing your part to protect natural resources. It is about getting a safe and healthier life for you and your family without sacrificing style, quality, or budget. This is a movement to provide all of us with clean air to breathe and water to drink, safe, healthy food to eat and places to live, and energy to run the places where we live, learn, play, and work. Your go-to information source for a healthier home and world, hosted by Marla Esser Close, your Green Home Coach. This is the Green Gab Podcast.
I'm Marla Esser Close. And
I'm Tony Pratt.
So for anybody that's new to listening to us, we really got a really cool opportunity, and we're hoping to get a chance to do it again, where we recorded live at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show. The awesome part, we did about 20 hours worth of content. I think we got about 20 shows out of it. We got to talk to so many fun people.
Yeah, we did.
And so many experts, and in different ways, we talked to people that were repurposing in for arts and crafts and home projects. We talked to people with secondhand furniture. We talked to
solar providers, builders,
Habitat for Humanity, yep. Several builders. Just this amazing scope of people that some of them didn't really
financing.
Yeah,
financing.
But what's so fascinating is some of them didn't really even recognize that what they were doing had a green, sustainable kind of a bent to it, because that was just not the way they ever thought about
right.
it. And it was so cool to explore so much of that and help people see maybe a different way of how they were doing business or talk about things in a different way. And we just, if you get a chance to go back and listen to them, we've really had an amazing time getting those out to the world. And we hope you enjoy them half as much as we enjoyed making them.
Well, I think half the fun was just knowing that they were all down there.
Yeah.
We didn't have to, you know, try and arrange studio time or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of them, they came to our booth, and then some you just went yeah. out, rode
Found
on
them.
Your own with a microphone, and
yeah.
hey, you got 10 minutes.
So if you, our dear listeners, have a show or an event that you would be interested in having live podcasting, it's a great way to capture content, make it available to your audience, your members, as well as to the bigger world. It's a great way to share what you're doing with the larger world, and you know, and actually they can be made private, but we love the transparency of getting the word out to the bigger world and helping people to know what they don't know. So
that's all you need to know, right?
Right. Just know what you don't know and you'll know more than you knew. And that sounds really confusing.
That's
don't okay.
laugh
I
at
make
us,
up
Sam.
Words. Hey, come on. We inspirated at the show, right?
Oh, yes.
We did
and
a lot
we
of
cooperated
inspirated.
Too.
We did. We had co-opetition and we inspirated. Okay, so inspirated was inspired and educated.
Yes.
And co-opetition was?
Cooperate, yet compete.
Compete, that was it. So we became masters of inventing new words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not in the news, folks. We're doing it right here live on the
we
Green Gap Podcast.
We are inventors.
Well, Tony, all the changes that's happened in the past year and a half has been wonderful, scary, exciting, but I miss being in the studio with you and Sam. And so I'm so glad we have a chance to do. I mean, we're just doing a couple quick episodes, but I'm very grateful for that. So thank you.
Well, it's been a while. You know, it's been a while and this was fun. I mean, we had it down to where this was like our Tuesday morning thing.
It was.
We'd come in, we'd record a few episodes, hang out with Sam, do breakfast or lunch, and then go back about our day.
Yep.
And then boom, it was a weekly thing. And I miss that, you know,
yeah,
with you
too.
Being in Oklahoma City now. But I'm thankful when we can get together and do it.
Well, we'll explore some new technologies and figure out what this looks like going forward. So you, our listeners, hey, any ideas you have? We'd love to hear them. I do ask a couple of favors of you, our mighty, wonderful, tremendous listeners. Number one, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please go review us. We really
like
need
reviews.
Well, and the reviews help us to gain more listenership on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps the show to get out to more people, and it just gives it a lot more credibility in iTunes world. If you also are following us on Facebook, on the Green Gab Facebook page, we also cross-post to the Green Home Coach Facebook page and to our Twitter page. Love to hear from you there as well. Any comments or ideas you have for future shows, or if you'd like to come on the show, please let us know, because we are looking at some ways of doing this completely technology-based and then sprinkling in when we're in the studio so we can really look to achieve a new mix. We want to play around with maybe some little mini Facebook Live kind of interviews, so that might be a great a great way to interact with you. And if you're interested in coming on, but really only think 10 minutes is your gig, Facebook Live can be a great solution for that, because I like the 10-minute Facebook Live videos. I kind of don't do well listening for longer than or viewing for longer than that. Right. I'm good listening because I turn the podcast on in the car when I'm driving a lot.
Yeah, but you can't do that while you're driving. At least not yet.
But, well, I can podcast. Well, sometimes I listen to
video. I'm talking about Facebook Live, watching that.
Right. Sometimes I listen to videos in the car, but you do lose something not having the video component. So I'm all for podcasting and listening in the car. So.
You know, it's that when you're listening.
Or when I work out or whatever.
When you're listening, you're imagining what's
going on.
That's true. Yeah, when you're trying to, when you're watching video, there's another level of perception and communication that you're picking up watching body language, watching, you know, the unspoken comment.
Right.
And if you're just trying to listen to that, you're missing that part because you're not imagining anymore. You saw what they look like.
Exactly.
You saw what's going on.
So heads up, mighty listeners. We are going to Facebook Live the second segment of today's show. So check us out there. And the cool thing is we get on Facebook Live sooner than we get on podcasts, because the podcasts take a few weeks to get edited and get into our queue and work them in with other episodes and stuff. So, but the Facebook Live is a great way to see what's happening. And seriously, we just really would love your interaction. And we're really working to see what the next phase, what the next chapter is for the Green Gab.
So, well, feedback also makes us better.
It does. It does. And it's funny that we're talking about hearing and seeing today, because the topic we really want to pick up on is how we can use some of the technology tools that are out there for the baby boomer and greater population, those of us that are, well, we're all aging.
But everybody ages.
I know, we're all aging. That really happens all the time, right? But we have this whole growing senior section. I hate to call them senior. Wait, what's a new trend? Active adults?
Active adults, yeah.
Yeah.
Active adults.
Yeah. So this, I found an article that I'd sent to you, last week?
Mm-hmm.
That just really spurred some conversation. And I'm going to thank the author of this article. So it was Derek Holt from K4 Connect. And I found the article in the Green Home Builder magazine. So thank you, Green Home Builder. We'll make sure to post out to you guys as well. But it was, I love the title. It really caught my eye. Design with Smart Home in Mind, Why Seniors Lead the Way. And after you and I had done that presentation at EBA, the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance show, March? September? I don't remember. Sometime in the last year.
It was March.
But that we'd done that presentation on
disabilities,
connected homes for people with disabilities. So this is all coming together. This conversation is happening a lot more.
That is correct. And, you know, we see this every day with what we do. Whether it's, you know, millennials, they get technology automatically. And when
they
know,
want it.
When they're buying a house that is, you know, the builder's working with us and the house is already got the infrastructure for being a connected home, meaning the processor's in there.
Mm-hmm.
They get it right away. They're excited.
Okay, wait, but go back a second. So you said a connected home already has a processor in it. So explain that in a little bit more layperson's terms.
All right. So when we mean connected home, that means all of the different devices that can live in that home or items in the home, whether it's a security system, whether it's a door lock, a thermostat.
That communicate with other things.
Television, radio, stereo. If it talks inside that house, it's connected. It can be connected to each other because they can interact. The only way for that to interact is because that home has a control system that has some sort of processor that all of these items can be tied into.
So the processor is the brain.
Yes.
And the systems are the heart would be to a body or the lungs or the ears or whatever. So they're providing a different function for the house. So what's the difference between a connected home and this term smart home that we're hearing out here a lot?
Oh, that's
and that was used in this article, by the way.
Well, that's a great question. So smart home is this all-encompassing, you know, term that's really a mystery to most people.
Okay.
All it means is some part of my house has an app that I can go on my phone and I can do something with it.
So it's technology enabled.
It's technology enabled, but That's all it is. I got one app for the thermostat. I got one app for my door lock. I got one app for my Sonos speakers. I've got one app for my Samsung TV.
So a smart home could have 20 apps to run the
house. I could have 20 apps.
Or whatever.
You know, I sit there, I can scroll through them, do whatever, okay. Turn things on, turn things off, turn things on, turn things off.
So connected home is the next step.
A connected home is the pinnacle.
Okay.
So all that means is there's one app. Everything is landed in that one app.
Through the brain.
Through the brain.
Okay.
And not only that, I can press a button and maybe I have 20 devices tied to it. All 20 of them can do something based on that one device.
I just
have to figure out what it is. Or, especially with Amazon having the Echoes and Google Home coming out and Apple's developing their own voice-enabled device.
Okay.
Those devices can be integrated into these connected homes. And instead of hitting a button, I can give a voice command.
And I'm sure we have a voice command on our smartphones.
Absolutely.
Smart device. I've been told no longer to call it a phone. It is a device.
It's a device. It is a device. That
and
is
it
correct.
Is. Although I talk on mine more than most people.
Right. But if you're in the home, instead of going over to the wall and hitting a button or hitting the button on your app, you can sit there and say, Alexa, turn my house on.
Gotcha.
And then whatever is tied to that command comes on.
Okay, so hold that thought. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to dive into why this matters for seniors.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective, on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out the Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it all out now by accessing the Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From the Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Hi, it's Vic Porcelli. Don't miss our interview with Michael the Grinder Mizrachi in our most recent episode of Two Guys Talking.
So we are on the Green Gab podcast today, and we are in studio live today here at Shock City Studios in St. Louis.
It's been so long since we've been here.
I know. So this is actually segment two of the podcast today where we're talking about connected homes. But we love giving you guys a chance to see what's going on in the studio. So we thought it'd be fun to hop on Facebook Live.
And since we haven't been in studio in a while.
It has been a
while. It's a perfect opportunity to do it.
It has been a while. So if you are looking for the podcast, just be patient. It'll come out there. We'll attempt to repost the live when we post the podcast, just so it'll kind of all tie in together. Yep. So we really started off talking about, we've got this huge technology influx with smart homes, and I say that with air quotes, because what we're really learning is there's a better word that's connected homes.
Absolutely. Connected homes is the proper word. You can also use automated homes. But connected homes really is all the technology inside that house is connected together.
Right.
And it lives in its own little technological ecosystem.
And the reason we care about that, and this is what, I found this article that we really started kind of digging into. It was on Green Home Builder magazine. And thank you, Derek Holt, for writing it. We'll send you a copy of all this. But what we love, that what you said in this article, is that the fundamental issue we see with the current approach to smart homes, quote unquote, is a focus on novelty rather than everyday utility. And we see this novelty, especially like with the younger technology that's grown up digital. Digital and technology is first language to them. But we also see this incredible opportunity to help people live better lives in their homes.
Well, and that's a great point because, you know, at the Sound Room, we sell some cool stuff. We really do. And, you know, we show people all the time as they come in for tours. You know, we take them to a demo wall and there you are turning a light switch on and off from your phone. Well, that is cool. There's some novelty to that.
Yeah.
But how often are you actually turning on a light switch from your phone? Not often. Where it really becomes a benefit to people is when things are automated or they're tied together and connected. So at that point, maybe I'm coming home, maybe just by my garage door opening up, now all of a sudden my pathway lighting into the house is turned on automatically. So as I walk in, the lights are already on. Maybe the TV comes on. Maybe the music starts to play. So these things are automated because they're connected together. And the benefit is it makes my life a little less hectic. It's easier. I don't have to go around turning things on and off. At night, instead of walking around turning things off, I just hit one button on my phone, on the light switch, whatever, and everything that's connected shuts down.
So what I see with that is, like, I lived by myself for almost 4 years. Well, that's a safety issue.
Sure.
When I come home, I've got the lights on. I'm not tripping over the sidewalk. I'm not fumbling for my keys. And it's like we have keyless entry getting into a car. It's safer. It's not just a convenience. It's safer.
Or something like this. Daylight savings time in the fall. Mm-hmm. It's darker.
Yeah.
You're coming home. Well, now all your lights are on timers. And they're turning on at certain times. They look like they're random, but they're not. So that way, if you're traveling, it looks like you're home. But no matter what, you're not coming into a dark home. You're coming into a lit home. And it has another level of safety because of that.
So particularly what I'm starting to see is, like, for a senior that wants to stay in their home and stay independent, they've got a safety mechanism there.
Yes.
So not just convenience. It's actually going to help them. Like, if they get up in the middle of the night, the lights could automatically come on. Or maybe there's pathway lighting, or there's a motion sensor.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot
of
different
things. Way of responding that says, hey, I'm going to make this as safe as possible while you're up in the middle of the night and it's dark.
There's a few things that you have to look at for the connected home. One, you have for the person that is aging, that wants to stay in the house by themselves.
We're all aging.
You have two, their family members that are worried. How is mom doing? How is dad doing?
Right.
So there's a peace of mind issue for that as well. So you can have it to where you have motion sensors in the house that track the daily patterns.
Okay.
So they see it. And as they're walking down the hallway at 9 o'clock in the morning to the kitchen, son and daughter get a little text on their phone saying, hey, motion was activated. So you know it's your parent on their normal pathway.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden it's been half the day and you haven't seen any motion. You're on the phone. You're going to see what's up with mom or dad. You have another possibility of just the simple Amazon Echoes, the voice control.
Right.
What's one of our biggest fears with the elderly is a fall.
So now they can do the help I can't get up
exactly
to the voice activated.
Exactly. And now that sends a little call over to son, daughter, whoever, wherever you want it to go, and it's alerting somebody that we have an accident.
No, that's a cool idea. And you know, that was funny that you had not thought about that, but they remember when that feature first came out on cars and it didn't stick. I'm not sure it was, I don't know why it didn't stick, but the idea was good.
The timing. Timing
maybe,
probably wasn't right.
Maybe. But I remember I had that in one of my vehicles and I ended up, it was subscription based. That might be a lot of it. But I think we've gotten a lot more used to subscription-based things now, too.
Yeah, we are.
I don't think at that point in time that it was as common.
Well, and that little $50 piece, because it interacts with the controllers for a connected home, you can not only take that from the elderly side, but you can also transfer it over to the person with disabilities.
Right, and that was what you and I had done our presentation on. But it's the same thing. It's back to this. There was another quote in the article that fits so perfectly. It says, oftentimes, and I paraphrase a little bit here, often solutions are looking for a problem rather than a solution to an actual known problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for seniors that want to live independently, safety may be the actual problem.
Absolutely.
How do I have someone living on their own or living with maybe reduced eyesight or reduced hearing? And aging doesn't necessarily mean elderly these days.
No,
because,
does not.
Or perhaps it is someone with disabilities. I mean, just even a hearing loss could play into something like that. So having these technologies, they act as your second set of systems is what I really hear. So it's a safeguard.
Well, what I've found is regardless of whether a person's disabled or they're aging in place in the home, technology and a connected home can give that person maybe a sense of independence that has been lacking in their lives based on a disability or aging in place in the home. And if you take somebody, you know, case in point, somebody that is wheelchair bound.
Yeah.
And maybe they can't do much. But now all of a sudden, if technology allows them to do 10 more things now that they can than they couldn't do in the past, there's another sense of independence. And it's not only for them, but it's for the caregiver as well.
So real quick, before we wrap up on the Facebook Live portion, I don't know if you can hold your controller up, but Tony has a control system on his phone. Tony, you. We're going to see if we can hold this up to Facebook Live. You're probably going to have to get it closer. But it's cool because you can control everything. There you go. It's going to be mirrored, probably. But you can, tell me what all you can access from that.
All right. So from this, pretty much everything. This is actually one of our display homes that we're doing with Consort Homes. I can play with the TV. I can, you know, change the channels on the TV remotely if I really want to.
That's just entertainment. Go to the
audio. I've got lighting. I've got thermostat. I've got the security system. I've got the door locks. Basically, in this house, we're showing anything and everything you can pretty much do in a basic house. The cool thing about this is there is a custom button. I can go in if I'm the salesperson at Consort Homes. When I'm getting ready to leave, I can just basically lock the door, the sales door, get in my car, hit the goodnight button, and everything that's tied
down
to this house shuts down and the security system turns on.
Yeah. I think that what is coming is going to probably just blow our socks off. I mean, I think of what's happened with what we call smartphones, or now I'm being instructed to call them smart devices. But that little thing you carry in your pocket, and mine is, you know, our camera right now.
Yeah.
These little things that started off as simple communication devices to be an extension when we were on the go for phone conversations have evolved into so much where they can truly run all aspects or help us run all aspects of our lives. I hope they don't replace human beings. But I just feel there's so many benefits from it that it's that we don't yet recognize.
It's still the potential for technology, especially in the home, is still untapped. We're in that very first entry-level stages still. We have a long way to go, and that's where the builder themselves really needs to start making the decision. Am I a high-tech builder or a low-tech builder?
And that's maybe seen as a wow, and that's cool factor really has a practical side if you just kind of think a little bit wider and a little bit more all-encompassing. So we're going to sign off Facebook Live. We hope you got a little kick out of seeing us. We will repost this in a couple of places so that y'all can all find it, because we know it's kind of hard for everybody to jump on Facebook Live in the middle of a workday. And if you want to hear the podcast, please go to The Green Gab on iTunes or on the internet at greengabpodcast.com. And you can check out more there as well. And we will be right back on the podcast. Thank you, Facebook Live audience. See you later.
Bye.
The Two Guys Talking Podcast Bug, a truly original autonomous mobile recording solution. Get bit by the podcast bug. www.podcastbug.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
It doesn't always come fast, but it's always free. Join me, Officer Tommy, and learn more about vital building blocks when it comes to security and law enforcement during the Free Field Training Podcast. FreeFieldTrainingPodcast.com. That's FreeFieldTrainingPodcast.com.
We're still Gavin here, and this whole topic of the connected home is one, obviously, we keep coming back to since it's your part of your part of your business.
It's a majority of our business
But it's also really becoming a growing conversation inside of the whole green sustainability and efficiency side, because it's a great way for us to make up for behaviors that we can't or won't do.
Yes, because you can automate these.
Right.
And by automating them, well, you take the best behaviors you want, but let's face it, life gets in the way.
Name a few behaviors, because I don't know that our listeners necessarily know
what we're
talking about. I
want to make sure that all my lights are turned off
whenever possible. Your ceiling fans.
My ceiling fans are on when they need to be on and off when they need to be off. I want to make sure that the house is set not too cold, but not too hot, at a good temperature that's not going to kill my energy bills.
But you don't need to necessarily have that running when you're going to be away at work all day long.
Not only that, or maybe I'm on vacation. You know, there are different modes in the house. You can have a stay mode, an away mode, a vacation mode. So
behaviors typically we talk about with when we start talking about technology.
Yes.
Is behaviors where you mainly turn off or on something or adjust a setting.
Exactly.
And it can even include manual, like opening and closing window shades or blinds.
Yes.
It could include opening and closing a garage door or a front door or a back door or a skylight. So anything that basically a human being can operate.
They can automate.
They can. I got to remember that statement. Okay. So with that being said, the technology essentially makes up for our
misbehavior.
Our misbehavior. We're going to get all kinds of cool quotes out of this one.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what we do. But yes, technology steps in where your behavior, your preferred behavior, stops.
And we do stop.
Yes, we do. Life gets in the way. You know, I was in the middle of something. How many of us have been in the middle of something, got a phone call, and then totally forgot about what we were doing till a few hours later and said, oh, did I do this? It happens all the time. And with a connected...
Can you say Evernote?
Exactly. And with the connected home, either it's automated or you open up an app and you override it and make sure it's done, because there is a bit of a feedback to it. You can have as much control or as little control as you want. It all depends on what you're trying to accomplish in the home.
So what's so cool about that is I know that so many of us equate technology with millennials. And if you are a millennial listening to the show, please forgive me for the stereotype. Sam, you're a millennial. I'm okay, right? And I apologize for that.
As he's looking at his smart device.
As he's looking at his smartphone and ignoring us. No, I'm just kidding you, Sam. But I want to talk about what's awesome about millennials. And by the way, I have two millennial kids, so I get even awesomer stuff. You as a demographic have been enabled with technology and the digital world since a very young age or birth. Because of that, you know, I liken it to being bilingual. You think in two languages. You think digitally. I watched what my son and my daughter can do with their apps and with their smart devices, and it runs circles around me. But it's because they're not translating every time. My generation, and you're kind of in between, I think, Tony, because you're a little bit younger than me. Yeah, and I'm the tail end of the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. But my generation in particular, and I find I'm fairly tech savvy for a woman of my generation, and I think a lot of that's because I worked for IBM for 15 years. But I'm still translating between, oh, how did I do that prior to technology, and now how do I do that with technology?
Right.
Whereas when I ask one of my kids to help me with
They've only done it one way.
Right.
With technology.
Right. So when we start talking about a smart home, and I think this is part of the reason that the term maybe has stuck around, the smart home is what it is. The connected home is what it does. And we, now that we're starting to understand the benefits more of what technology provides us, are starting to speak about it in a different way, really.
Well, and you got to remember, the connected home is not only what you can do with it, but it's also where it's going. Everything.
Oh, I definitely can see that.
That will be going into a home within 5 years, within 10 years, maybe within 2 years. It's going to happen. It's a matter of how quickly. But everything that has any kind of electronic capacity to it will be connected in that home.
So we really need to think beyond. I mean, things start with the wow factor. That just seems to be the path of these things. So we start with the wow factor. Oh, cool. I can tell my washing machine when to wash my clothes, or I can tell my dishwasher to only run in the middle of the night.
It's not even that you can tell it, but if you're looking for true energy saving mode,
right,
it's looking at the grid. It's
for when it's cheapest.
When it's cheapest. That's
right.
When it's running automatically.
I have a utility tied thermostat for smart hours. And it's not to that parity level yet, but it does help me to take advantage of when energy is
But
a
this
big,
is
cheapest.
Where it's going.
Right. And this is going to say, you're right, this is exactly why the word connected is so important. And for someone of my generation, that gets a little big brotherish. But here's what I'm learning the younger generation gets, and part of this is because I think they've grown up with it, is that they're willing to give up a little bit of that big brotherish kind of a feeling that, oh my gosh, it's seeing everything I do, for the benefits that it brings to the general human population.
Yes.
And the big part about what got you and me so excited about this particular article and conversation and the presentation we did about senior living, people with disabilities living, and the connected home is that it goes so far beyond the wow factor, and it truly enables entire populations to live in a much better way than they would have been able to otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. It keeps them being independent as they age. I mean, we all think of the stereotype, somebody's in their 80s by themselves, in senior living, right?
You haven't met my stepfather yet.
I know, but it's still a stereotype.
Yeah, he's amazing, plays golf three times a week.
Where would we all prefer to live? Yeah. In our own homes.
Yep,
correct?
Doing what we love to do, where we love to do it.
And if technology is what enables somebody to live in their own home from cradle to grave, so be it.
Well, and even my generation, I'm the tail end of the baby boomer, but I'm an empty nester. I'm starting to think, well, what does life look like when we are active adults, air quotes?
Sure.
Which is the new term for these, really a lot of the baby boomers, because we are empty nesters.
Or retirees.
Well, a lot of us aren't retired yet, but we're working. We're not necessarily working what we've done all of our career. We may be working on a second career or a hobby job, or we may still be working in a career. It's all over the place. But it's a life when we're making more choices rather than things selecting us.
And, you know, part of, the issue is, when do you retire now?
Yeah, that's a big question, especially after the recession.
But not only that,
yeah,
as you live a longer life, you're spending more and more and more and more and more years out of retirement. The whole change is, this new generation that's coming up through grade school now, they're retiring at 75? Just because they're going to live to 95 to 100 on average?
Yeah, good point. So by taking advantage of technology that is available right now, today, we can enable people that may have some physical challenges or even some mental challenges or just aging challenges all over the world.
Technology can give a semblance of independence to just about anybody that doesn't have it right now. Technology gives arms to the person who has no use of his own.
Well, and talk about the work that y'all have been doing. I'm put a little bit of a shameless plug in for you guys, but y'all have been doing some really cool work with the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Yeah, so Gary Sinise Foundation, their mission is to provide specifically adapted smart homes for wounded warriors and first responders throughout the country. And they'll partner up with some wonderful companies that do a lot of donations, in particular Core Brands. They're the ones that donate a lot of the electronics that go into it that we install. And then they'll partner up usually with an integrator like us. And we're the ones that get to know really how the house needs to be programmed. Now, in the design phase, a lot of times we have no idea what is wrong. So because a lot of the stuff
challenge the person living there has?
We have no idea what the disability is, nothing.
Okay.
So we have to go and prepare for worst case scenario.
Okay.
And basically the worst case scenario is wheelchair, no use of arms, no use of legs. That's it.
Okay. So everything's force activated.
Yeah. Basically, everything is just done. The first one we did, you know, the wounded veteran did have mobility, but it was still prepared just in case. But we have to look at it as that's his forever home.
Right.
So in 20 years, if he becomes wheelchair bound,
it's ready for
him. We're ready to make some adjustments here and there, tweak it, and he's good to go.
Okay.
You know, these are true smart homes. These are true connected homes. These have a central controller into them. So really, a little programming, maybe an additional device or two, and we can make it do whatever we want based on how he ages in that house.
Right.
Now, the one we're currently working on right now, we're talking wheelchair bound, no use of arms, no use of legs. He can control the wheelchair with a straw.
Okay.
But he can talk.
Okay.
Not necessarily long, drawn out soliloquies, but he can talk enough for voice control.
Okay.
So our goal is if we can give him 5 to 10 things that he can do by himself, it gives him a sense of independence again, but it also gives his caregivers a break.
I truly am grateful for what the Gary Sinise Foundation does and for what y'all do as contributing to part of that and for the so many different companies that contribute to this. Because I can't think of a greater way for us to honor the servicemen and servicewomen that have served our country. So that's huge.
And there's a large group of people that do this.
Yeah.
I was out at the current project on Friday and Builder was telling me, you know, there's a carving that they put on this outdoor fireplace. And I thought it was a form, a cast or something. And he's like, oh, no, the mason hand-carved it and put it in there.
Nice.
Now, this is volunteer time in a house that this guy is not living in, you know, this mason.
Right.
And he took the time to hand-carve this piece. And it's gorgeous.
Nice.
And that's, you know, everybody's way of saying thank you.
Yeah. Well, there's... this whole idea of connected homes is here to stay, folks. And
oh, it's not going anywhere.
It is a wonderful solution now for seniors, for active adults, for people with disabilities, as well as just being cool if you just want the wow factor. But check it out. We'll post some resources on the podcast notes, and we'll put some links up there to what the Gary Sinise Foundation's doing. And again, a huge thank you for Derek for writing this article in Green Home Builder magazine. We'll put some links up to all that. And if you have questions about this or would like to get started or want to know where to go next, if you're in St. Louis, please feel free to give Tony a holler. He'd love to chat with you, or we'd be happy to help you find an organization in your specific area. There's quite the network throughout the, particularly through the Home Builders Associations and some other organizations. But this is an answer to a lot of unresolved situations in many cases. So give it a shot. Take a look. It's gonna keep going as our computers and technology keep moving forward.
In two generations, the term connected home won't exist.
We won't recognize it.
Because they'll all be that way.
Yeah. So awesome time gabbing today about connected homes. And thank you, Tony and Sam. We've loved being back in studio. We look forward to the next time you catch us on the Green Gab podcast. And have a wonderful day.
That wraps this episode of the Green Gab podcast. Ready to use what you've learned? Get the show notes with all the resources mentioned in this episode, plus 9 simple, straightforward, low to no cost ways to improve the health of your home and world today at everydaygreenhome.com. Be sure to subscribe now on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and remember, being green is easier and more affordable than you think.